If steps aren't taken to protect your corporation's land, I think there's a good chance of losing it.
Her question was specifically about native allotments.
Oh, but not native allotments. Native allotments are okay. They can't be taken over. They can't be taxed. If you've got a native allotment, you don't have to worry about it. I'm talking about the Village Corporation's land and Bristol Bay's land.
Andrew, did the New Island Corporation have the land in a village or what? New Island Corporation had the land here or what?
You're talking about Native Corporation land? Bob, is that... That's all just municipal...
No.
Well, maybe
she's asking
you,
about the status of the Native Corporation. What was New Haven Corporation land?
Well, you understood the question, did you?
No.
Sorry, Bob. Can you do you want to chime in there?
Okay. With the land we have here now is municipal land that everybody's living on here. She asked about the status of the Native Corporation land, which was they joined a group called Alaska Peninsula, which is a group of corporations. And this happened several years ago.
So they have a merged or consolidated corporation.
Mm-hmm. And it's called Alaska Peninsula, and it involves a number of the villages in the area.
And this new corporation holds all the village land?
All the assets that had belonged to the New Haven Corporation prior.
Well, the same thing applies to merged or consolidated corporations. You still have shares in those corporations, and they can still be taken over. And in the 1990s, their land can be taxed. So all that I said about village corporations applies to the, what do you call it, peninsula? To the peninsula.
You're asking if you have land and have control of that land?
Mm-hmm.
Right. What he's saying is you don't have as individuals anymore. The city, the people of New Haven don't have control of that land now.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a share of control of that land. And a lot of other people, by joining, have control of that land, too.
About those kids don't have any land for...
Well, the kids don't have any... land, they don't have any shares either. That's the point we were discussing with these folks.
About the parents, if they died, the will goes to their children, right?
Yeah, then the children would have the shares.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. The lady's name?
Larry Waterley.
Well, Mary, maybe we could take a coffee break. We'll take a coffee break for 5 minutes. I think there's coffee over there, and then have some further discussion. Well, maybe we could start again, and if you feel like moving down this way, it's a little more comfortable over here. Well, now that we've had a coffee break, maybe we could continue with the discussion. And as I said, it's quite informal, and just feel free to say what's on your mind about ANCSA, the corporations, the land, subsistence, all of these issues, sovereignty. That's what I'm here for, and if there are any questions, I'll do my best to answer those as well. But I really want to know how you feel about the land, subsistence, how this village is going to get along in the future. Anything you've got to say about native self-government, those are the questions I'm interested in. So we can start again. If you wouldn't mind coming up here to start with anyway.
My name is Myrtle Nealon, and I'm with the LEM Native Limited, and I'd like to explain to you the way I understand is that when 1991 comes around, our native corporations will have to decide on what they want to do with their lands. Like, we represent people, and it's going to be our people, and not just ours, but it'll affect everyone, what we do with our land, because we're kind of in the center between Meliana, Nondalton, and New Halen. And I know that right now we have a lot of lodges that are around, and the people go out and hunt and fish on our land, and we try to make these people understand that they just can't go out and do whatever they want on our land, because that land belongs to our native corporations. And the animals and the fish and everything is we're trying to protect for our own people. The young generations are the ones that's going to have to eventually take over for us. And so what we have to do is we have to have the young generation understand what we're talking about. Is that when 1991 comes around, instead of our land being sold and making big developments, what we want to do is to try to protect our games and our land so that we could be able to hunt and fish and continue to do a subsistence way of life. Subsistence is when you can go out and hunt and fish wherever you want or travel on this land. If there's development, then it's sold to big companies or people, and we won't be able to go out there and trespass that land. Not like we're doing now. Like, you kids can go out there and travel and hunt or fish or do anything you want. But when 1991 comes around, if we don't do anything to make ourselves understand that we have to think about what's going to happen to our land, then we'll have to sell our land. If they start taxing us and we start having boroughs come in, things are going to start happening to us, and we have to be able to do something to help ourselves. So that's what we talk about all the time at our Native Corporation meetings, is how we're going to do to protect ourselves. But we want our land for our subsistence way of life, and we're going to hope to keep it that way and keep things like, if you go into a city, people buy trees to put around their homes. Out here, we have it growing all over. But we would like people to remember that when they go out and cut down, they just don't cut down trees just to cut them down and waste them. And the reason why we have to do that is because we have to protect our land and keep it like it is. Although we used it for years, our grandparents, and it's been years and years since I can remember, and before my time, people has used this land, and they've always kept it like it's untouched. But once it's sold and people start making big developments, then it's no longer going to be like that. And so when we hope that when 1991 comes around, that at least we could keep our subsistence and development to a certain point where we don't have to hurt our people, but to be able to make it a better life for them, but not to make it so that people don't have nothing. Another thing that we have to remember is that when these people come in and the lodge peoples, and they go out and they hunt and fish and trap our lands, they take everything away from us, and then we don't have any more animals. So there's a lot of things to consider and to remember when 1991 comes around that we have to do to protect our land. I'd like to know, you know, what your views are.
Well, maybe I could ask you a couple of questions. You're the president of ILLIAM?
I'm a vice president.
Of ILLIAM Limited?
Yes.
And how many shareholders are there? In?
We have 77.
And how many would be residents of the village, and how many would live in Anchorage or
okay,
somewhere?
We have about 30 people that are resident, or 35, probably maybe half that are residents, and the rest live outside of the village. Hmm.
And the ones that live outside the village, do they feel the same way about subsistence as the people still living in the village?
No, I don't think they do. I think that in a way they do, some of them do, but yet I think that what they prefer is the land to be sold and the money part of it.
So when 1991 comes, they might want to sell their shares and take the money.
I imagine. Not all of them, though. I don't think
yeah.
so, but some of them would.
Most of them are in Anchorage, are they?
Well, they kind of scattered all over, you know, outside.
Yeah. Is your village corporation that's just representing those people, are you in any business? Are you able to pay dividends? Do you employ anybody?
We employ a person to run our corporation, and we have a, we don't pay our board. We do it as volunteer because our corporation is really small. And one of the things we do is we try to make as much money as we can for our corporation to keep it operating. And we sell gravel. That's one of the things we have a little bit of. We use heavy equipment that we lease. And it's just a small little business that we try to keep things going. Although we gave our shareholders 5 acres of land to their home site. That's part of their payment. And each shareholder got 5 acres of land, regardless of where they were or where they lived. But
and how did you choose the how each person got each 5 acre piece? By lottery or?
Well, no. What they did was they just choose where they wanted it.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Are any of them building homes on
yes,
those?
Yes, most of those people are going to build homes on it, and just. If they don't use it, then their family will be able to use it.
That was done under ANILCA, under the...
That was done under our Native Corporation.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, tell me, I was saying earlier that there's a lot of ideas going around about how to make sure that Native people don't lose their land. And one idea is to restrict the sale of shares so that in 1991 people won't be able to sell their shares. But if that were done, maybe some of the people in your corporation who live outside the village, live in Anchorage and places like that, they might be a little unhappy about that.
Well, I don't think that those people, the people that belong to our corporation, are pretty much, you know, with the village. We do have people that are on our board that lives out of, that live out of the village, and they are real helpful. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the things is, you know, they don't understand the way that we live out here, you know, because they've been away from here for years, although they want to protect their land. Mm-hmm. So I think they'll, you know, they'll see it our way.
Well, one of the ideas is to restrict the sale of shares, that is to get Congress to pass a law that says that people who have shares in these native corporations just can't sell them to non-natives. Another idea is to take the land that the corporations have and transfer it to an IRA government or a traditional village council or to a cooperative or a non-profit corporation. Have you thought about that? Any views on that, one way or the other?
We've thought about that RIA, and we're considering that real strong too. Mm-hmm. Eventually go IRA. We have a lot different situation than the other villages because of the fact that we live in our village, and it's not our village, we live in Eliamna, and Eliamna is a lot different than New Halen. There's a lot more competition, you know. I mean, like, there's more whites than there is native.
In the town.
In the town. And so it really is, you know, it's a different situation than the people here have. Because we, you know, although those people are, you know, they're nice people that live there and everything, I'm not saying they're bad people, but we have to look after what we got too. And so there's always, you know, things happening that we have to be aware of.
Well, in Eliamna, do you have a city or do you have a village council?
A village council.
A traditional council.
Yes. Yeah. But when the Native Land Claims had their settlement act, and the way it's set up now is that we don't have a recognized entity, because the white people said that they're not represented, so we couldn't represent under the village council, because they'd have to have the Herring Commission come in. Every time we want to do something, we have to have the Herring Commissioner come in and have a hearing with the public. So it's a lot different situation than it is in other villages.
Well, does your village council receive state funds?
Yes.
Revenue sharing?
Mm-hmm. That's why.
Well, the non-natives share in the benefits from some of that, don't they?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, just while we're going to be here tonight and tomorrow, too, for a while anyway, and maybe I could just tell you that Native people in other countries have been writing to us, to our office in Anchorage, to say, look, what happened with those Alaska Natives and their land claim? You know, we heard they got a lot of money and all that land. What happened? Because in Australia, the Native people are starting to settle their claims. Some of the Indians in the lower 48 are trying to reopen their claims with the U.S. government. In Hawaii, the Native people are starting to advance their claims. Even in Norway and Sweden, the Sami, the Laplanders, are making claims. The Eskimos in Greenland are making their claims. And in Canada, the claims are being settled. So a lot of other people have got the same problems that you have. They're all asking, how can we keep our land, and how can we have some control over what happens in our communities and on our land. And if it makes you feel any better, you're not the only people in the world struggling with these problems. Well, I asked you some questions. Did you have any for me?
Well, I think that I'd like to know about, you know, how are we going to be represented by your hearing commission? I'd like to know, you know, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to help
well, look,
us?
As I said at the beginning, I've been traveling for a year, and this is the 55th village I've been to, and I'm only going to about three or four more. After this, we go to Dillingham, Bethel, Aniak, and Sleekmute, and Anchorage. We'll have a hearing in Anchorage for the native people that live in Anchorage. And I'm writing a report, and I think I know what Alaska Natives are concerned about and what they want. They want to keep their land, want to keep subsistence. And the only big question is, well, how do we go about that? And I've got to think some more about that. But in my report, I'll make it clear what my recommendations are, what you should do. If you decide that my report is a good report, you can go to Congress with it and say, look, this man traveled all through Alaska, listened to all the people. Here's what he said. Here are his recommendations, and we think that this is the way to solve the problems. Problems, be it remembered, that Alaska Natives didn't create for themselves. This was Congress's idea. They passed it back in 1971, and I think you have the right to say to them, look, you've got to straighten this out. Because you see, Congress's idea was that you would get shares in the corporations, and that in 1991 you might sell your shares, and white people would buy your shares, and they might owning some of your land, and you might then use your shares, the money you got from your shares, you might go out and buy shares in General Motors or some big corporation, and gradually everybody's land and property would become a commodity. Everybody could buy and sell their land just like people do in some parts of Alaska. So Congress didn't realize that you wanted to keep your land. At least that's what you've been telling me everywhere I go. So I think that means that this thing's got to be changed. If you didn't care about your land, this would be a great settlement, you know. You just get rid of your land in 1991, take the money and run. I don't know where you'd run to, but that's what they had in mind. And that's not what people obviously want today. So that has to be straightened out. But I'll write my report in the summer, and you'll get it in September, and I'll say clearly what I think you ought to do. Oh, well, I was just, I said earlier that I'm not here representing the federal government or the state of Alaska. I was asked to do this by the Inuit Circumpolar Conference, which is an international organization of Eskimos from Alaska, Canada, and Greenland, and by the World Council of Indigenous People, which is a worldwide organization of Native people. And they will be submitting my report to the United Nations, but I will be submitting it to you. I'll be sending it to all of you who've spoken today, as well as to the school and the council and the mayor and the corporation, the Nundalton and Alaska Peninsula and Iliamna and so on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm Steve again now. That lady up here asked about her land. Subsistence is a word that two different meanings at one time. There's commercially and privately. If you have subsistence, there's two different meanings. Commercially, if I use privately, I have to fill out my private forms. It's just subsistence land forms, just little space.
That's where they'll show you how many fish you're going to pick up, or 500, 1,000. They'll show you how many you're going to. There are two different means at one time. And then allotment up here, that lady asked me up there just a while ago about her land, on that allotment land, 160 acres one. She wants to know if her land's going to get transferred up to her kids, her 160 acres allotment.
Well, she can leave a will and yeah. and just leave her allotment to her kids, and then when she dies, it'll be theirs.
Yeah. When these people were asking about subsistence, do they have to send them, or you have to get your subsistence form to fill out? That'll show you how to catch how many hunting, fishing, or...
Yeah, well, subsistence is governed by state yeah. law, so you have to abide by the state law.
Yeah. That's where these people are kind of stuck, between allotment and subsistence. They're both different.
Yeah,
they run
are.
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like one word, subsistence, two different meanings.
Yeah.
Privately and commercially, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, if you have an allotment, you don't have to worry about losing it. Well, I explained earlier that native allotments are okay. If you've got a native allotment, you don't have to worry about 1991 or taxation or any of this stuff. If you've got a native allotment, you're fortunate.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Okay.
My name is Albert Wasley from Nanalton. I'm with Nanalton Traditional, Secretary of Nanalton Traditional Council. And I'm also Land Committee and authorizing officer for the selection of our land. And I'm going to ask a lot of questions. I know some of these questions about the land, the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act. But, I know some of these land, questions, but I want all my young people that came down. I was concerned that some of the city council didn't come. So this, all these young people, I'm going to ask these questions for these young people. I specifically want to ask a question about the background of Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act, Bristol Bay's land and the money. I understand, and most of the people know, that the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act paid Alaska Native people 44 million acres of land and $962 million. But what does that mean specifically to people of Bristol Bay? I like to ask a question about the background information on BBNC's land and money, and some comments from the shareholder survey in this area. There are various comments from peoples everywhere, but here is one comment from a shareholder. This comment, if a person, there's one comment from, this is just one comment. If a person was registered to village corporation and regional corporation with the intent of getting native land, how would a person receive the land? There has never been any mention of what land was to be given. That was a comment, and there's various other comments. Now the question I'm going to ask, I have 13 questions. I like to make this brief, but I understand we've got 2 days tomorrow. And
take your time.
And I'll do this for the for these young people,
sir,
that came.
Please do.
Question number one, about the land claim. Who gets what land under Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act? Would you answer every question?
Well, under Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act, the corporations got all the land, all the 44 million acres, and Alaska, BBNC got certain land, the villages got certain land, and the villages own the surface estate, what's on top of the land. The BBNC owns the subsurface, what's underneath the land, even on the village lands. Without making this too complicated, that's pretty much the way it works. But that's why all the land that you got, leaving allotments out of this, all the land that you got went to the corporations, and that's why what happens to the corporations is pretty important. Because if you lose the corporations, if you lose control of them, then you lose the land.
Okay. Two, how was corporated land chosen?
Well, the federal government said that the corporations, the native corporations, could choose from certain lands, and then the corporations went ahead and chose their lands, but the federal government had already taken some lands for itself, for national parks and military purposes, and the state had already taken some land for its purposes, for homesteading, for highways, and state parks. So what you had left to choose from was not the whole state of Alaska. You couldn't just go and take what you wanted. You got to choose from what was left. Okay, right. How am I doing?
Like I say, I'm doing this for these kids. I know. Third question is, what do surface and subsurface means?
Well, the villages got the surface rights, which means what's on top of the ground, and the regional corporations got the subsurface, which means if there's any resources under the ground, they got the coal and the oil and the gas, whatever's under the ground, and without making this too complicated, there was a big argument about the gravel that I believe has just now been settled, and the villages get the gravel, but I think they have to split the revenue with the regions.
Okay. You own the surface, right? And the regional corporation owned the subsurface. Suppose you have a mineral or something under your land, but they cannot break your surface.
No, if there's a mineral under your land and the regional corporation wants to develop it, they have to have the consent of the village corporation. Mm-hmm.
Does Bristol Bay have available land, the corporation?
Well, Bristol Bay was at a roundtable discussion we had in Anchorage last year, and they said they didn't have very much land, surface land. Bristol Bay Native Corporation, I'm talking about. They said they didn't have very much surface land, so I don't know how valuable their land is. You would know that better than I do. But they said they didn't get much land. Well, what they have, really, the value, what Bristol Bay has is the subsurface, the resources under the ground. I'd say, and I'm sure they would say that that's what they regard as important.
Why was money part of the settlement?
Well, before the Russians came to Alaska and before the Americans came, the native people owned all of Alaska. So when land claim was passed by Congress in 1971, they said, okay, we're going to let you keep 44 million acres. That is 10% of all the land. Now, the native people used to own 100% of all the land. So they let the native people keep 10%, and they said, because we're taking the rest of the land and we're not going to let you have it, we'll pay you $962 million for that land.
All right. Who got the money?
Well, the money, there was a distribution to individuals, that is, Alaska Natives received some money as individuals. Each person got a check. But the money really went to the corporations. That is, just about all the money went to the corporations, and the village corporations, like Iliamna Limited, Alaska Peninsula, and to the regional corporations. The greatest part of the money went to the corporations. And you got shares in the corporations. I mean, that was the setup.
Both the regional and village corporation?
Yeah.
The same amount of money, like $6,000?
Oh, it depended on how many shareholders there were in each corporation. That varied. I don't have the tables with me, but it depended on how many shareholders you had.
How much money come to Bristol Bay?
Gee, I can't tell you that.
Corporation.
They received installments over a period of about 8 or 9 years. I don't know how much they received altogether, but it was a large sum of money.
Yeah, well, I'll skip some of those, of course. So what should an individual shareholder expect from Alaska Claims Settlement Act? expect from Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act?
Well, I'm here to find out from you what you thought this claim was going to do for you, what this Claim Settlement Act was going to do for you. But I can tell you what Congress thought. Congress said, well, those will set up these corporations, and the natives will become shareholders in the corporations. And the idea was that the corporations would go into business and employ native people. So there would be jobs for native people because they would work for the corporations. And then the corporations would make money and they would pay dividends to their shareholders. So the idea was that native people would get jobs and they would get a certain amount of money every year from the corporations. Now that's what Congress expected it to do. You can tell me what you expected it to do, and you can also tell me whether it lived up to your expectations and what you want to do now. But okay, next
okay.
question.
Now this is 1991. Personally, I'm satisfied with the years we got now. What is 1991?
Well, Congress set this up and they said, okay, the only people that can have shares are native people. But in 1991, anybody can have shares, native or non-native. So they said that after 1991, you can sell your shares. On January 1st, 1992, you might find somebody from Anchorage comes into this village and goes around and says, I want to buy your shares. Here's some money. And he might go to everybody in Alaska Peninsula and try to buy their shares, or might go to everybody in Iliamna, try to buy their shares. And if you sell them your shares, if a majority sell their shares, then he's going to wind up owning your corporation and your land. That's what 1991 is about. Right now, you can't sell your shares. Even if somebody comes around and says, I want to take over this corporation and get your land, you can't sell them your shares. But after 1991, those shares can be sold, and people from outside can come in and take over your corporation. Now, maybe some people want to sell their shares and get some money. But that's one of the big questions in all of this, how people feel about it.
The land will be cheap by that time. Think so?
I don't know.
I think so. Okay. I believe in December 1991, I will have the right to do whatever I feel like with my own shares. I don't mean I will ever run and sell my shares. I feel there should be a limit to the number of shares a person can own and a minimum number to be eligible to vote. I feel those who were born after 1971 should get the one too. They are full-blooded natives of Alaska, and yet they got nothing. Why are they left out? I think it is very wrong. I don't think I fully agree with the issues of 1991, but I feel the best way is to cope with the situation more before it confronts us. That's about now I'm getting subsistent.
Could I ask you a question, sir? I was asking a representative of Iliamna about 1991, and let me ask you the same question that I asked. There seem to be two views about how to keep the land safe after 1991. One view is, well, let's get Congress to pass a law that says nobody can sell their shares. So if Congress passes a law that no native person can ever sell their shares, then the land will always be safe with the native corporation. On the other hand, in some villages we've been to, people have said, look, the only way to keep the land safe is to transfer the land from the corporations to the IRA governments or to the traditional councils, keep it there, and then it'll be safe because nobody can take over our IRA governments or our traditional councils. Now, there's some other ideas, but those are the two main ideas. What view do you have about that? What do you think?
Well, I think selling your land, if you sell your land, you would have nothing. You would have money. With money, you can't keep the land you could keep. And I think selling your land would be just like when we first got